You know, just a short topic we have, but we hope that there are some big lessons for us to think about, and that's the alabaster box. Probably one of the most personal and pleasant occasions for our Lord during his earthly ministry was when he was anointed with a bottle of spikenard, a very costly ointment, while he was residing in Bethany that last week before his death. This account is found for us in three scriptural references, in Matthew the 26th chapter, in Mark the 14th chapter, and also in John the 12th chapter. And we'd like to read the account from John and then look at some of the specifics of what happened there in Bethany. John 12:1 says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me have ye not always." The John account tells us that 6 days prior to Passover, a special supper was prepared for our Lord. This probably occurred on Saturday evening following the typical weekly Sabbath, because we learn in John 12:12, the following day after this event, it was when our Lord triumphantly entered Jerusalem the first day of the week on Palm Sunday. The parallel accounts of Matthew and Mark tell us that this supper took place at the house of Simon the leper. We don't really know anything about who Simon was, but it's probably more correct to assume that he had once been a leper and was probably one of those who had been healed by our Lord. In attendance at this occasion, the account in John tells us that Lazarus was a dinner guest and that his sister Martha was one who was serving. In Matthew, we learn that his disciples were with him because they saw what was about to take place as Mary, Lazarus' other sister, approached our Lord. This is the setting we find as they sat down to sup in Bethany. You can only imagine what must have been going through our Lord's mind as he contemplated all that was to occur in the coming week leading up to his death. It must have weighed heavily on his thoughts. He had no doubt looked forward to this simple supper, to be able to set himself apart for a few hours for some needed rest. What more could our Lord ask for to console him and comfort him in these closing hours of his life? Truly, his Father in heaven provided the answer. Mary came forward to give our Lord exactly what he needed. The account in Mark 14:3 says, "There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head." John's account fills in further detail, saying that she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The alabaster box mentioned here referred to a container made from a type of marble found in the mountains near Alabastron in Egypt. It was noted for being light and a beautiful white color, almost transparent. It was used by the ancients for the purpose of preserving various kinds of ointments. The breaking of the alabaster box is really a misnomer. You wouldn't want to shatter the pieces of marble and then try to apply the contents of the container. What was actually meant by the breaking was to undo the ties and the seals of the container so the contents could be poured out. The word spikenard comes from the Greek word nardos, a precious ointment, a perfume of foreign origin. It comes from the root of an Indian plant found growing in the Himalaya Mountains and is distinguished by its having many hairy spikes shooting out from one root and is referred to as the Indian spike in our common dictionaries. That the nard of scriptures was a perfume is evident from the passages in which it occurs. For instance, Song of Solomon's 1:12 and also 4:14 says, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the tree of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices are mentioned here. Here we find it mentioned along with many of the most valued aromatics which are known of the day. The value of this ointment that was poured upon our Lord was quite evident from what was expressed by those in attendance. In the Matthew account it says, "But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation among themselves. To what purpose is this waste?" And finally we learn who was chief among those who were indignant of what Mary had done. Judas said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" The pence or denarii was considered a day's wages, and 300 denarii would be equivalent to a laborer's wages for an entire year. You might think something well over $20,000 in value by today's standards. It's obvious from the account in John that Judas wasn't interested in looking out for the welfare of the poor. In John 6:12-6 it says, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. The Diaglot translation of that says, and stole what things were deposited in it. It's no wonder what our Lord said to Judas as he rebuked him for his indignation towards what Mary had done. In the Mark account, he says to him, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body the bearing. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. As we look at this account, there are a few lessons for us to consider. First, you note that what our Lord said to Mary, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. None of us have had this wonderful privilege given to Mary to literally anoint Jesus' head and his feet while he was living during his earthly ministry. But you'll notice she didn't wait until after our Lord's death to anoint his body. What benefit would that be to someone after their death? Then it's more really for the benefit of a person's family than for the one who died. An elderly brother once commented on his alabaster boxes as he came to the close of his life. He said, "If my friends have alabaster boxes full of fragrant perfume of sympathy and affection laid away, which they intend to break over my body, I would rather they would break them out in my weary and troubled hours and open them that I might be refreshed and cheered with them while I need them. I would rather have a plain coffin without a flower, a funeral without a eulogy, than a life without the sweetness of love and sympathy." Some might think that it is simply about money and that the sentiments of love can be measured in such terms. That may have been Judas's response and measure, but it was certainly not Mary's, neither our Lord's. She showed a deep and loving heart, one that delighted in costly sacrifices on behalf of others. It wasn't money that our Lord needed, but rather the breaking of an alabaster box, breaking the ties and seals of her heart, and letting flow the sweet depths of love and devotion that to him were an odor of sweet incense. We too, brethren, have this same privilege that Mary had in respect to our fellow brethren, the feet members of Christ, down at the end of this gospel age. While we cannot pour the sweet perfume upon the head of our Master, Christ Jesus, we do have this privilege to pour it upon the feet of Christ. It's our privilege to comfort one another, to encourage one another, to sustain one another in the trials incident to our filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. And who is it for? It's for the body's sake, which is the church. Remember what Mary did with her hair. She anointed our Lord's weary feet with the best she had. She gave her choicest treasures. The sweet odor filled the house, but it was the odor of Mary's heart affection toward our Lord that have come down to us, truly a wonderful memorial to her and an example for others who desire to be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:2 on how we should walk with loving and devoted hearts. He says, "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." The Apostle Peter tells us, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." As we reflect on the alabaster box, this wonderful and selfless act that Mary was privileged to render unto our Lord, let our heartfelt love and devotion for him likewise extend out to all of our brethren, and let our offerings and sacrifices in his service be to God a